We're also very thankful to be here. We greet each one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Do really feel blessed. Also appreciated much the song, Faith of Our Fathers. Certainly our fathers who were here ahead of us went through a lot of things we don't know about. And a lot of them, it cost their life. And we have here today because they were stood on principle. They stood with God. Appreciate also the visitors. We welcome you. It's kind of special to have Lyndon's here today. We thank you for coming. This is the first Father's Day that Pop does not have a wife to say Happy Father's Day. I got up early. I think it was around 4 o'clock to study for this message. I just felt so unready. And when I came back to the bedroom to check up on my wife, there's times she doesn't speak very plain anymore, but it sure was clear. Happy Father's Day. For the message, I'd like to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We have here the Apostle Paul writing to the Thessalonians. And I want to take the title for the message out of verse 11. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. The title for the message is As a Father. The Apostle Paul was looking at the Thessalonians as children. In verse 1, for yourselves, brethren, know your entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. It brings to remembrance to me about the faith of our fathers and what they contended for and how they were suffered and shamefully entreated. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor of guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called unto you into his kingdom and glory. In going to verse 7. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Isn't that how a father needs to relate to his children? Cherishing them. A wise father knows that to spend time with his child, the child gets the message, I am worth something. I must be important to Dad. He must love me. He cherisheth me. I am valuable. Remember one time one of my daughters, when she turned 18, she said, Dad, I really feel safe standing behind you because I know that if it would so happen that a boy would come and ask me, he would have to get past you first. Do our children have that view of their father? And you know, there may be times that your father asks you questions that you don't like. Fathers cherish their children. And when they cherish them, they are protective. They want to protect their children. And rightly so, because they were entrusted into our care from the Heavenly Father. So when you're out some evening and you come back home and your father asks, where were you? What time did you come home last night? What were y'all doing? Who are the people you were with? Do you appreciate that, or you just don't want your father to ask you any questions? If not, why not? The Bible says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. Do you want fellowship with your parents? Walk in the light. It's just that simple. A godly father is protective, and he wants to know that you are safe. He wants to know that there's not something weaseling its way into your heart and you that could cause you spiritual harm. He is concerned about that. The best example of fathership that I can find is found in John chapter 17. And this is when Jesus was talking to his father. But I'd like to impress on fathers today the responsibility that you have to your children and how that relates to your Heavenly Father. And I don't mean to change the words of Scripture, but just to bring out a point, I would like to read to you in John 17 where Jesus was talking to his father about his disciples. Do you believe that God gave you the children you have? Do you believe that you are responsible for those children? Are you willing to take that responsibility upon you? In verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the children which thou givest me out of the world. And I'm going to put the word children in here, or family. Thine they were, and thou gavest my children to me, and they have kept thy word. My children have kept thy word. Now my children have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are from thee. For I have given unto my children the words which thou gavest me, and my children have received them, and have known surely that I came from thee, and my children have believed that thou didst send me. Children, please understand, God gave you your father. I pray for my children. I pray not for the world, but for my children which thou hast given me, for my children are thine. And all my children are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but my children are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep my children through thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that my children may be one as we are one. While I was with my children in the world, I kept my children in thy name, those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of my children is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Do any of you have a child that you think is lost? Jesus felt that. And he brought that out. Protection from the enemy. A wise godly father is concerned about his daughters and his sons, that they are serving God, that they are honoring God. And one thing a father will see is that the daughter, the wife, honor the headship order. Something that's important. When coverings get smaller and smaller, do you think that you're going to keep your protection? Do you think you'll be protected just like you were? I don't think so. A wise father will see to it that his family is walking orderly and that we are all under the headship of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are walking down the road as a family. And if a strong wind comes, the husband is going first, and he takes that first blow. There are a lot of windbreaks that are planted today out west, especially to hide behind the wind, so you don't have to take that blast. But a godly father goes out ahead, and he gives leadership to his family so that when that wind comes, he's the first one to receive it. And he's willing, and he's glad to take that. If trouble comes down the road, it hits him first. How does he take it? Are you willing to take that responsibility? When Jacob was going away from Laban and they were traveling, Rachel travailed and she had a son. And as she departed, because it says her soul departed, as she was dying, she said, his name is Benoni, which means son of sorrow. What did Jacob do? Did he just accept that? No, Jacob said, I will call him Benjamin. Benjamin means the son of my right hand, the son of my strength. So are we fathers today, when sorrow strikes into our family, even if it's our precious little ones or our wife, where we are standing strong and knowing that that very thing that came into my life, which I couldn't help, I will use it for my strength. I'll use it to stand strong and faithful for the Lord. Your father is the one that taught you to stay strong in a strong wind. Do not yield to the winds of change that this world has to offer. And I know there are children here who no longer have their earthly father. So what do you do? You know, you realize that your earthly father taught you principles. And now when the wind comes and you stand on those principles, you have something that your father gave you. Hold on to it. It is precious. It is your life. And you also have the church and friends who are willing to help you and to stand with you when the enemy attacks. Makes me think also of Elisha in 2 Kings. When Elijah wanted to cross the river, he took his mantle and smote the waters, and the waters parted. What is a mantle? You know, you hear sometimes this thing of a son taking on the mantle of his father. When his father leaves this life, the son takes up the mantle. To me, the mantle means your calling and your responsibility when you take on that mantle. And God had given Elijah this calling and this mantle that he was wearing. Well, when the time came for Elisha to be taken away, Elijah, to be taken away, it says that he asked Elisha, "What shall I do for you?" And Elisha said, "Please, that a double portion of your spirit can pass upon me." A double portion of your spirit. Fathers today, are your children convinced that you have a spirit that they want a double portion of? It's just a question, but it's a valid question. Do they want a double portion of your spirit? And here was a father-son relationship. Elisha looked to Elijah as his father. And it says, "And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, 'My father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof.' And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in pieces." Isn't that such a picture of when our earthly fathers or mothers leave this world, and it leaves the children in a whirlwind? It leaves the children feeling like lost, or what shall we do now? And you know, there's no one, when God sends those horses and chariots to take up our parents, there is nobody that can stop that. And we don't know when the horses of fire and chariots are going to appear. We don't know. But just like that, Elijah was swept away. And Elisha was left saying, crying, my father, he's gone. He's gone forever. Then it says he took up also the mantle of Elijah, the calling and the responsibility that fell from him. And he smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. That's the answer. Here the mantle was given to Elisha, and he took that on himself and he practiced it. And when he practiced it, that's when the waters parted, the impossible became possible, and he went over Jordan. That is what happens when we take on the calling and the responsibility of our fathers. And we're willing to do that. God is going to be with you. So those are the principles that dad teaches his family. The principles of listening to what God says. The principle of holding the word of God precious. The principle of reading it and teaching it to his family. And then, when there's water ahead and you don't know which way to go, just keep on going, because use that calling, that responsibility that God gave you, and it will part the waters and you will find a way to get through. That's why the song says, "Swing low, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, calm and easy, till I get over on the other side." That's what we want. And it's the chariot here. Pick me up and take me over to the other side. That's what we're all waiting for. It's what we're all striving for. You've already heard the slogan. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. And that's how godly fathers are. When the going gets tough, godly fathers get going. There's no room for whining and complaining. How does a family feel protected when a dad is whining and complaining about his lot in life? "Oh, we don't have enough money. I don't know how we're going to pay the bills," and so on. How protected do the children feel that when I have a dad that is whining and complaining? And how most unprotected do they feel when dad is blaming the wife and the children or a circumstance or everything else for the problem? be a man and just admit that it is your problem. You will never identify problems and come up with solutions as long as we're blaming somebody else. Maybe we need to just be told, like David was by Nathan the prophet, you are the man. You are the man. You chose the responsibility to be a leader in your home, did you not? Where is somebody who did not choose that calling and responsibility that is a father today? You chose that. You actually chose that. You asked that girl to marry you. You fathered those children. Let's turn to the song 866. Rise up, O men of God. If we ever needed a generation of men to rise up today and be counted and take on responsibility, it is now. Rise up, O men of God. 866. Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things, give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O And here he says, her strength unequal to the task. You know what that's saying? That's saying that we have more power, we have more strength than what is even needed. Is that right? Her strength is unequal to the task. We can do it. It's just a matter of taking that responsibility and your calling serious and rising up and get to work. We have no time to be whining and carrying on. Who in his marriage is maybe, so to speak, boo-hoo-hoo, I've just got it so tough. I just feel like going back to mom and daddy. I'm just so sick and tired of this. You think it'll get you anywhere? And it'll make the children run to who all knows where, trying to find some security and protection from their enemies. In John chapter 10, Jesus talks about the good shepherd. And he says that the hireling fleeth. But he talks about the good shepherd, and he talks about his father. And Jesus teaches us here what a good father does. He says here in verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. Now, could we put in here, I am a good father, and I know my children, and my children know me. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. That is such an example of a godly father. He's willing to lay down his life for his children. So now what's important to you today? Make more money? Buy the next farm? Start up a bigger business? What is your aim and goal in your life? Or is it that I want to be sure, make sure I do everything I can so that my children are taken care of and that they have my Heavenly Father for their Heavenly Father? And looking back over my life and my children, and I think of all the things that have come to us as a family, are they really to blame? And it seems to me that better than 90% was my problem, and a lot of it simply was for lack of perspective, lack of vision. It takes a godly father and a godly mother to see that if my child is involved in a certain thing, where that's going to end up at. What's going to happen in the future? Yes, fathers, we're called to be prophets. We're called to prophesy. We're called to look ahead. We're called to have a vision and know what's going to happen if I don't do this for my child. If I don't teach him the Bible, if I don't teach him Bible stories, if I don't teach him to respect their mother, if I don't command respect from them for me as their father. And you know, so often I just had to sit back and just admit that I didn't see it coming. We can always find excuses. But it doesn't do any good. It does not do any good. In going back to our scripture in Thessalonians, in the way Paul related to these children of God, he says here, so being affectionately desirous of you, in verse 8. In verse 7, he talks about cherishing them. And then in verse 8, he talks about being affection. Are you a father that teaches your children affection by being affectionate towards them? What's wrong with a father hugging his children? Maybe you should just do that for a change. Can you look your child, your children, I don't care how old they are, can you look them in the eyes and tell them that I love you? You might think, well, I wasn't brought up that way. I don't really care. What does the Word of God here says? It says to be affectionate. And when we are affectionate, we're willing to tell them, I love you. And Pop, I want to tell you today that I love you. Happy Father's Day. A godly father also provides. He says here, we were willing to have imparted unto you. And when he talks about imparting something, he talks about giving them something. I have imparted to you. I gave you myself. I gave you everything I had. I did my very best for you, is what he's talking about. A godly father provides. And we're not talking about money. I don't think the Apostle Paul was sending them a lot of money. We're talking about wisdom and friendship. That's what fathers need to do for their children. It doesn't just happen. It's something you have to work for. It's something you have to put your heart into. Because if you don't win the heart of your child, somebody else will. The world will, if nothing else. Believe me, there are plenty of people, plenty of enemies out there who are wanting to win the heart of your child. So it doesn't just happen. Affection doesn't just happen. It's got to be practiced. It's got to be done. You have to work for it. It is your calling. You are called to provide wisdom and counsel and perspective and insight. Paul had a giving spirit. A father adds to the life of his children. He does not take away. Children, your life today is richer and fuller and better because of your father. And there is no room for a stingy spirit. Girls, I want to tell you something. If you're dating a boy, or if you're interested in a boy and he has a stingy spirit, I'd say drop him. Cut the relationship. Because if he's stingy in his teens, he'll be stingy when he's 80. That part usually doesn't change unless the Lord Jesus Christ gives him a good working over. So don't court a young man if he's stingy. He's not going to be giving you much of anything. He might let on like he's going to give you something, give you what your heart is thirsty for, but he really won't. And he might be there for your beck and call through your dating years or whatever, your dating time, but when you're married, soon after that, he'll be out for his own interests. And please make sure that he has vision. We have some young boys here today who are in teaching and training to be fathers. Even if you never get married, you might say, well, I won't get married. I don't have any interest in girls. But I want to tell you, better sit up and listen, because the traits of a godly father is something that is developed when the boys are young. Even these smaller boys up here, sit up and take notice what your fathers are trying to teach you. It will stand you good in life. The Bible says, honor thy father and mother. It's the first commandment with promise. And if you go through the Ten Commandments, it sure is. There's a lot of thou shalt not do this and don't do that. But when you get to the point of honoring father and mother, the first promise is there that it will add long life to you. That's why it says the first commandment with promise is to honor father and mother. A godly father will supply needed money. When I was young, growing up, my dad was known by me to spend his money wisely. And I remember, there was no such thing as just being tired of your shoes. No such thing as that. If I wanted a new pair of shoes, it had to pass my father's inspection. And I remember going to him wanting new shoes, and they did not pass inspection. There weren't enough holes there. Yeah, I remember wearing leather boots. And I remember there were holes in them. And I remember taking them off and seeing manure on my socks. And usually socks are smelly enough without having that added to it. But anyway, it did not hurt me. And the time came when my dad took me to Butler and Harbor in Paris and bought me a brand new set of boots. Leather boots. And I just thought my dad was the best in the world. And now we have closets full of shoes. And we have people who are just tired of their shoes. I'm tired of the look. I just want other shoes or other clothes. Are you kidding me? We need to be known, fathers, as teaching our children to spend their money wisely. There is no time for waste. There is no room for waste. We need to be thrifty. And my mom was the same way. She wasn't asking and begging stuff from my father all the time for something that she wanted she was not satisfied with. She was content with the things that she had. But my father was concerned that her needs were met. And they were. And girls, you have a lot of help available If a boy asks you for your friendship by simply putting it first to your father and your mother and ask them what they think and give them time to think about it. Don't push your way. Back in Genesis, do you remember where it says that the children of God saw the daughters of men and they took them wives and husbands of all whom they chose? If we have the situation where we have children who are going to outdo the choosing and mom and dad have nothing to say about it, what do you think will happen? Your life will deteriorate. That's not honoring father and mother. And your life, I would say you're on your own. I would say that you will never land a good fish or land a good guy, whatever you call it. I wouldn't say that, but I will tell you, you are at a high risk. You're at a high risk. And don't just go out there and choose who you want or who you think is good by bypassing dad, because that's what happened back then. And there was an Israelite who brought a woman to his tent of his choosing, and the wrath of God was on him, and he was nailed by a spear to the ground, him and the girl, cost them their life. And then only was God's wrath assuaged. They lost 14,000 men. And you know what? Young men, stay busy. Stay busy. You might say, I don't have a job. I don't have anything to do. Well, help your mom wash the dishes. Help her sweep the floor. Help her wash your own clothes. Go find a shovel and dig a ditch, or go get the mower and mow some grass. Do something. It makes good boys. It really does. And you know, you may be sick and tired of what your dad is doing to make a living. But you know what he's doing? He is providing you a table to eat food on and to put your feet under. He is providing you a roof over your body. And he is providing you a place to live. And he's doing a lot for you that you might just not even think about. Your shirt and your pants that you have to wear, they are supplied ultimately by your father. And he is the one that told you about God. And he is the one who teaches you to spend your money wisely. He is the one that teaches you how to stay busy. He is the one that teaches you how to respect your mother. He is the one that teaches you how to have the good life. I'm not talking about just going out and having a fun, good time. I'm talking about really being happy in your life. And you can't be happy and joyous outside of respecting God for who he is and thanking him for your father. He also teaches much, much by example. He is the one who is asking God for his protection and care over his family. And girls, there's one more thing I'd like to tell you. I say one more thing. I say that, but I might have a few other things. But 35 years ago plus, I asked a young girl to marry me. And if there's anything that you get today that I say, I want you to think about this. I really do. And boys, the same way. You choose the girl. The girl chooses the boy. I mean, she does not have to do it. And neither do you. When you're in a relationship and something doesn't smell right, whoa, just stop right there. You may want to put it on hold. Take your time. But you know, my wife, She said, yes. Now, this is the point I want you to get. My wife said yes to me, but she did not know that she was saying yes for 8 other people. How many children do you have? When you say yes, you are making that decision for all the children you're going to have as well. Does that make sense? I'm telling you that it is a weighty decision. A weighty decision, full of responsibility. And those choices are going to go with you through your whole life. Boys, you're going to have to sleep with that lady. Is that really who you want to be your wife and the mother to your children? She may now be the life of the party. But I tell you, one day the party's going to end and the rubber's going to meet the road. Same way for you girls, for the guys. Can he make a living? I mean, those are things that should be settled during courtship or even before. Is he able to make a living? Is he able to say no instead of just spending his money on things that he wants? And on things that are really worthless in the eyes of our Father in heaven. And I don't mean to come across today as whipping our fathers. I don't mean it this way. But I do want us to know that we are called. We have a responsibility. And children, look at what your fathers are doing for you. Notice it. Tell them you appreciate it. And then in 1 Thessalonians, I have to end this, 1 Thessalonians 2:11. He says, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Fathers, are you exhorting them? Are you comforting them? Are you charging them? Elisha was charged. And a godly father will charge his children. He will give them responsibility. He will let them know that you are responsible to carry out my wishes, even as I carry out the wishes of my heavenly Father. That's what you're responsible for. And then let him carry that responsibility. If he does not carry that responsibility, bring him back to yourself and have him answer for himself. Don't allow your children to shirk responsibility. Charge them. Do you know what charge means? Over 20 years ago, I was in a church house over about 20 miles from here. And I was given a charge. I went down on my knees and there were hands laid on me and I was given the charge of a ministering deacon. And when I walked out, that charge went with me and it has never left me. That's how a father needs to charge his children. That responsibility goes with them wherever they go. A father has been charged by God because he is a father and a mother as well. And it's their duty, responsibility to charge their children and give them that responsibility to walk before me and be thou perfect, as God told Abraham. And fathers, you are called to the priesthood. Let's remember that. We fathers are called to be priests to our family. And I remember when my Uncle Norman got the youth to memorize John 17. And in German, it is called Das Hohen Priesterliche Gebet. And that means in English that it is the high priestly prayer. Jesus was charged with the responsibility of keeping those disciples. And in the same way, we have been charged with keeping, we are responsible for the children that we bring into this world by the help of God. It's really not that hard. Get yourself out of the way and allow God to work in your heart and life, and He will give you wisdom. Just ask. The Bible says that. Just ask for wisdom and He will give it to you liberally. I'm not saying that all things are easy, but you know, whenever there are hard problems that come in the way, usually the biggest one is get yourself out of the way and let God work. And when I say get yourself out of the way, I'm not meaning about running away from problems. I'm meaning about standing there and letting the wind hit you first. And allow your family to stand behind you. Take the brunt of that force. When something comes into your family that is traumatic, be the first to stand up and be counted and say, God brought this into our life and this is what we accept. This is where I stand. Exhort and comfort and plead with your children to stand with you as you stand with the Lord Jesus Christ and His word. Jesus travailed for His disciples. He prayed for His disciples. Are you a praying father? Are you praying to God as the priests prayed to God for Israel? Today, are you praying? Are you known by your children as a praying father? Somebody who is concerned, somebody who gets on his knees and prays to God for help with whatever situation comes into the family. Your children will feel more secure by that than anything else. And last but not least, if you make a mistake, don't be afraid to admit it. Don't think that the children are going to think less of you if you admit a mistake. They'll think more of you. It will help them respect you a lot more if you get on your knees first and you ask them for their forgiveness. There is no room for highness or haughtiness in this business of being a father. But there is room for leadership. There is room for servanthood, the type of servanthood that Jesus displayed when He got a And you know what? So often I find myself on my knees in front of my wife, doing things for her, putting her socks and shoes on, and doing things. Does that make me less of a man? Are you serving the needs of your family? Are you serving the needs of your wife and serving the needs of your children? If you're not, God help you be convicted. The last verse. That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. Let's kneel to pray.